Did you know that the perfect snack exists that not only has the yum factor, because that's important, but also packs a real protein punch? I'm talking about Wonderful Pistachios, a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Now that's a snack you can feel really good about. It's hard for me to currently pick a fave because they have several flavors to choose from, including no salt and jalapeno lime options. But if I absolutely had to, I'd say I'm in my no shells, Wonderful Pistachios, sea salt and vinegar era. It's the ultimate snacking solution for when you need a quick, convenient, and tasty boost of pistachio goodness straight out of the bag. Whether you enjoy the ritual of cracking open each nut or you lean towards the ease of no shells, Wonderful Pistachios has something for everyone. It's time to elevate your snacking game with Wonderful Pistachios. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more. Hey, hey, what's going on? You are listening to the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. My name is Bree Mitchell, and I am the host of the show, as well as the founder of Brown Girl Self-Care, an online safe space for Black women where we get to where the healing resides, the joy resides, the abundance and peace resides. I'm also a self-care coach for Black women, and of course, unless I already said this, I am the host of this podcast. Today, I want to talk about, and I really don't have any other way to say this. So off the bat, I want to say that this episode is definitely not going to be PC. But today, I want to talk about where I am in my self-care journey in regards to decentering whiteness. And my hope is that I can give you food for thought as you continue to embrace a lifestyle of self-care. Maybe explore some ways that you can continue to or even begin to decenter whiteness. So again, this is not going to be a PC episode. I may actually say a cuss word or 7. I'm just letting you know that off the bat as we move forward. This is unscripted, of course, as most of my episodes tend to be. But again, since I am talking about a topic that is very crucial to the well-being of Black women, which is my priority, this conversation is just going to be what it is. So if you feel like a non-PC episode may not be up your alley, then I want to invite you to maybe skip back to a previous episode that more suits where you are today or how you're feeling, or even maybe just skip this episode entirely. So let's go ahead and get into it. All right. So, first of all, let me go back and say, I really don't feel that all of my episodes are PC, but y'all, I'm gonna keep it real with you. The further I go into this embracing of a lifestyle that has a firm and solid foundation of self-care and self-love and confidence and self-worth and all those things that are important to us as we continue to thrive and move out of this place of struggle, right? Because struggle is not our birthright, period. I just learn so much. And I share that here on the show. So what you hear on the episodes really is just me sharing my heart. And sometimes I'll have silly moments, of course. If you've been rolling with me for a while, you know this. I think just in the last episode alone, I sang Slim Shady or something like that. But there are going to be times where the conversation may not be as fluffy or as light because I'm really, how can I say it? It's not that I wasn't, or that I'm not or wasn't serious about self-care before. How about this? The more you learn, the more you it just changes you. Does that make sense? You know that saying, when you know better, you do better? Well, I feel like I was already doing well as far as doing my best to share things. But what I'm trying to express is that the more you go down the rabbit hole, and I don't even really like using that expression when I'm talking about this specific topic, but the more you go down the rabbit hole and the more you uncover, the more you learn, the more your eyes are open. It's kind of like Neo taking the red pill or the blue pill. You follow? Can't recall which pill he took off the top of my head. Maybe the red one. But once he took that pill, he was no longer in the matrix. Or like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was no longer in the matrix. Or maybe actually he did go into the matrix. Oh, gosh. Maybe I need to watch The Matrix again. It's been a minute. But y'all know, you know what I'm talking about, all right? I ain't never said I was always the most accurate queen on the planet, but you know what I'm talking about. And that's where I am. That's where I am. So the conversations, you know, sometimes the mood changes a little bit. The conversations shift a little bit. We you know, we have more in-depth and realer conversations, and that's what this is going to be today. So I want to talk about how I am learning to decenter whiteness and white supremacy in my life, in my self-care habits, in my self-care routines, in the way that I prioritize myself, in the conversations that I have. Like, all of that make up who I am, okay? So I will just tell you that, you know, if I forgot to say it initially, if you can, girl, go ahead and sit down somewhere, light a candle, make a cup of tea, get your water, get your journal. Maybe you'll have some ahas that you want to write down as I say we have this conversation, but I know it's literally just me talking to you, but as we have this conversation, you might have some thoughts of your own. And I do want to make it very clear that I am still learning, as we all are. I'm a life learner. And we may be at different levels. You may know absolutely more than I know on a certain thing in regards to self-care. You may know less than what I know in regards to self-care. The point is, we're having this conversation for us, right? And we're learning and exploring and understanding ways that we can liberate ourselves. And that ultimately is what is going to help bring about the changes that we want and need to see in our lives, right? So that, again, is why I want to talk about decentering whiteness, because I realized that for a very long time, like, I felt like, and this makes complete sense, right, that white was always right. White was always right. And there were so many things that I did, and I want to say violent things that I did or violent things that I thought about myself and about others. And when I say violent, I don't mean as in putting my hands on anybody or, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, just violent as in harmful, as in toxic, things that I would think about myself, think about others, say to myself, say to others, do to myself, do to others. Again, not in a fighting someone kind of way, but just in a harmful way, whether I knew it, realized it or not. And that's just that social conditioning that we've all been indoctrinated to, whether you believe it or not. And I know that there are some Black people that, you know, are kind of like on the outside as far as maybe their levels of success, you know, what their, for example, financial worth might be or those kind of things. But I don't care if you are the richest Black person in America or one that is lacking, the most lacking in resources, right? We have all been touched by white supremacy. All of us, every single person. And, you know, another reason why I want to talk about this is because I take it very seriously, especially as a mom to a young lady. She's not a kid necessarily anymore, but I know, like, for a fact that my indoctrination or like my social conditioning has absolutely had a profound impact on my child. And I know that a lot of us are either mothers or caregivers or aunties or grandmothers, you know, things like that, where we are in a position where we have access to young people. And if we are in a place where we are not healing, and aware of kind of those areas where we need, you know, more love, more TLC, more awareness, then how I mentioned, like, that violence before, it can definitely happen, even unintentionally, some form of harm to the people that we have been put in charge of, the littles that we have put in charge of, right? So that's another reason why, just like healing, bringing awareness to where we are, bringing awareness to how we've been conditioned, like, all of that is important. And it's not to say that this one podcast episode is going to change the world, but one small change can have a big impact. So never feel like, you know, you embracing a lifestyle of liberation, a lifestyle of wholeness, a lifestyle of just loving yourself and accepting yourself and realizing your worth just because you are a human being. Like, never underestimate how powerful that is. Never underestimate, like, those small shifts, because all of it matters, right? So let me go ahead and I didn't actually put these in order, but I just want to give you a few ways that I have noticed or been aware of for some time that, or where I am actively embracing blackness, like actively centering blackness, as opposed to centering whiteness. Because as I may have mentioned before, like, everything we do, everything we had or have been taught, like, all of our experiences, they were not built for us. They were not made for us. They were not created for us. We were, quote unquote, inferior. We were not even seen as whole humans. What was it? We were seen as, was it 3/10 of a human being? I can't recall the exact percentage, but I'm almost positive it was like 3/10 of a human. Y'all, it's just a lot. I'm not trying to make the mood heavy, but I feel like this is such an important conversation, so I'm going to do my best to pace myself. And but like I said, this is not necessarily a PC conversation, right? But all in all, I'm just doing my best to do what I can to decenter whiteness, because the effects have been so immense on my life and everything that I do, how I feel about myself, the moves that I make, the experiences I have in the world, what I believe I'm worthy of, even when it comes down to, like, the job you took and how much money you make, right? That is linked to white supremacy. Your health is linked to white supremacy. Where you live is linked to white supremacy. How you feel about yourself is linked to white supremacy. Hustle culture is linked to white supremacy. Like, everything that we do, the way that we eat, the foods that we eat, like, everything is linked to white, that culture of just whiteness or white supremacy. And again, speaking from personal experience, I'm not ashamed to admit that, like I mentioned before, everything for me, I just, especially when I was a kid, like, white was right. That's what it was. And I just did my best to fall in line and not question. And I don't even know if I was necessarily aware that I felt that way, but I know that I did. And it's funny because my mother even used to tell me that, what was this, like, in the 80s, I'm almost positive, she's like, or maybe in the 80s or 90s or whatever, she would just tell me, like, you like to watch all these white TV shows. And in my mind, I'm thinking, well, damn straight. You're right. Because everybody on TV when I was in the 80s, for the most part, all the black people, they was poor. Right. They ain't had nothing going on for them. It was just struggle. And just that kind of thing. It was always some shenanigans, right? But when I would watch white shows, it was just luxury and whiteness and silliness and fun and happiness and just that kind of thing. So of course, and of course, beauty, right? I didn't even talk about the beauty standard and how obviously as a little kid, when I would watch TV shows, for example, let's see, what was I watching in the 70s? Trying to think really quickly. Some of my favorite shows probably in the 70s and 80s, and this was like before The Cosby Show. I was older when The Cosby Show came out. But like when I was like a little kid in the 70s or the 80s, I guess, I would watch shows like Three's Company, Sanford and Son, trying to think of other shows really quick. Greatest American Hero. Oh my gosh. These TV shows are escaping me. These TV shows are escaping me, y'all. I'm sorry. But again, Good Times. Obviously, that was a show. Different Strokes. That was a show. Facts of Life. That was a show I used to watch. And I'm sure I watched others. They're just escaping me right now, so my bad. But look at those shows I named, right? And I watched Heart to Heart. I used to watch The Love Boat, Gilligan's Island. Okay, it's coming back to me a little bit. But I mentioned two shows specifically, Good Times and Sanford and Son. I mean, do I need to say anything else about that? We already know, struggle, right? Thankfully, I am thankful that we even had, oh, and The Jeffersons. My bad, y'all. I did watch The Jeffersons. All right. I did watch The Jeffersons. But for the most part, like those other shows that I mentioned, most of the black shows were about struggle. Even Different Strokes was like two little kids going to a white family, a white, rich family, and their life going from bad to just beautiful because they were saved by this white man and his family. Right. That wasn't the point of the episode, but yeah, I did think that white was right. And also, you know, just telling my truth here, whenever, like if there was a kid, there was one kid in my school, who most likely was darker than me. And just, I recall like calling that person names. I'm not going to even say the name that I would call her because it's just ridiculous. But I was just like, oh, they're from Africa, they're dark skinned, they're black, or maybe not black because I consider myself black. So I'll just say African, they're African, you know, and just mocking them and really just being an asshole. You know, sometimes kids are assholes, right? I was an asshole sometimes because I just had this inferiority complex and I had to make someone feel worse than I felt about myself. So embarrassed by that. But when I was a little kid, I just, you know, didn't feel good about myself. I didn't feel like anything was right about me. And so I would, and I've talked about this before, y'all. This ain't nothing new, but I'm very embarrassed by it. But I've had to shift my mindset about how I even think about other people. How I think about people, like, for example, if they're, let's say, for example, Nigerian, for example. Or let's say they don't have, they don't have the same abilities body-wise as I do. You know, just different characteristics that make us who we are. Like, I just thought that just the white, perfect, able-bodied, blonde hair, blue-eyed person, or if you were light-skinned, for example, and you had some money, like, you just had this proximity to whiteness, and I was just like, oh, this person, you know, they're amazing. Right? They're better than me. They're just so beautiful. That is how my brain worked. Those were my thoughts. And if you were not close to white, it was just like, I would just treat people like trash. I am honestly just mortified, especially now speaking about the things that I speak about. It's just, I don't even know, you guys. It's just, yeah, this is definitely my truth. And if I could go back and apologize to those, like, there are two people that definitely stood out. I don't really recall their names. But if I could go back in a time machine and just apologize to them as a probably 8-year-old, 9-year-old, yeah, maybe 10-year-old possibly, or 11-year-old. I would say the age range probably like between 8 to 11, somewhere in there. I definitely would, because I was a jerk. I was a jerk, and I own that. But again, just that conditioning, that white is right, that was very impactful for me. So all of that to say, there are definitely things that I do now and have been doing either as of late or just it's been an ongoing thing that is helping me to, in a sense, it's kind of also like I'm reparenting myself, if that makes sense. I know that reparenting is like, you know, making sure you go to bed on time, making sure you do certain things as we are adults who may not have gotten necessarily the instruction or the care or the know-how that we really would have loved to receive now as an adult. I guess I'm thinking about it. I guess I could technically kind of say it's reparenting or a bit of reparenting as well. But I've definitely been doing these things or some things for the last, it's been some time, I guess, if that makes sense. And I lost my train of thought there, y'all. I'm just, in my mind, honestly, I'm just kind of still thinking about just the impact that I've felt for my entire life based on this conditioning that we've all received. And the beautiful thing about it is, again, not that this podcast is necessarily going to change the entire world, but if I can even just, you know, give you a peek behind the curtain on some of the things that I am doing or thinking about, and it, you know, invites room for you to kind of do some thinking and exploring on your own, then it's a win-win situation, right? So these are in no particular order, by the way. So one of the things that, and I think I'm sure I've shared my hair story before, so I'm not going to go all into it, but my hair and choosing not to straighten it. And I know that there's a beef, East Coast, West Coast, Biggie versus Tupac, right? In regards to natural hair, relaxed hair, straightening it, not straightening it, wearing it, you know, natural, et cetera, et cetera. And by the way, I think next month, October, is natural hair month or something along those lines, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, though. But, you know, I went natural probably like 10 years ago, I would guess, maybe longer than that, honestly. I don't have an exact date, but I'll say 10 to 15 years ago, just going natural. It was a really great choice for me. And I haven't straightened my hair. It's been quite some time, maybe even, I don't know, 3 to 5 years at least since I've last straightened my hair. And it's taken me some time to get to this point because obviously having, who said bouncing and behaving hair? I think that was like a Whoopi Goldberg stand-up show that she did where she talked about how she would wear a towel on her head and pretend that it was her hair. I'm sure I did that too. And maybe you're nodding your hair like, yeah, I used to do that when I was a kid. But because obviously straight hair was right. Kinky hair, we already know the history about kinky hair. And how it was not, and is still not, like, they literally just passed the Crown Act, what, was that this year or last year? The Crown Act is something along the lines of how you cannot discriminate against people that wear natural hair, and I'm not even sure if that's, like, a nationwide thing or if it's just in California. I read about that some time ago, so I can't recall the specifics, but, like, we know that kinky hair is not it, or it wasn't it. I'm speaking from a white perspective, right? Well, even as we were conditioned, even from a Black perspective, we know that kinky coily hair like mine and textures that are like, I'm going to assume my hair texture is like a 4AB, maybe 4A, 4AB, somewhere in there. And if you've seen my hair, you know, it's very coily, but, you know, for my 4C sisters or people that say, I'm not even 4C, I'm 4Z or whatever. Like we're not the standard when it comes to hair. We're not the standard of beauty when it comes to hair. And there's definitely a conditioning to straighten and relax. And hey, this is not a personal attack. This is not any shade. If you choose to straighten, God, do you, right? Do you. This is not about that necessarily, but what I do want you to consider is the why behind straightening your hair. Is it just about, you know, just wanting to have a different style and, you know, just whatever, and it has nothing to do with your natural hair? You know what I'm trying to say? Or are you doing it because you're like, well, this is how I am acceptable. This is how I will be deemed beautiful, right? And there's so many people out there. And listen, I'm going to keep it real with you. Like, if you're someone who's saying to yourself right now, you know, I love my natural hair, but I straighten it because people in my circle, they don't like it, or I won't be accepted for it. Listen, I feel you on that. Because we even have men out there and that don't accept natural hair. It's just a whole thing. So, you know, my choice to not straighten it, has it limited some of my options for dating? I can only assume that it has. I mean, I really don't know. There's no way for me to really say. But, you know, it is definitely my choice to wear my hair naturally and rock it. And actually, when I did go natural initially, like the big thing, this was back in the day again, like 10, 15 years ago when I went natural. And for a long while, I really was just hell-bent on getting a specific curl pattern, right? And I was so disappointed, so disappointed. Imagine me with this beautiful head of hair that I have on my head, right? Being so disappointed because my curl pattern wasn't popping. And I remember I even did like a Tex-Lax. And I was like, if you don't know what a Tex-Lax is, it's when you process your hair with a relaxer, but you don't leave it on for a long time. So it loosens up your curl pattern, but you still have a little bit of body to it. You still have a little bit of texture to it, but it's in a smoother and silkier way, if that makes sense. So in other words, you're not perming the hair or relaxing the hair to where it's bone straight. So I Tex-Laxed a few times. This is again, you know, maybe 15 years ago, 10, 15 years ago, hoping to have a looser curl, a nicer curl, or bouncier curl versus the coils that God blessed me with. So there was a time even when I did go natural, but I was still hoping for a certain hair texture. I was hoping for a certain hair texture, and it took me a long time to get comfortable with the hair that I have, the way God gave it to me, the way it grows out my scalp. And so I even tried to define my hair so much with like with the gels and things like that, because I wanted to try to have this certain texture. I realized I don't have that texture. We know what textures are popular, and obviously the 4s, you know, 4A, 4B, 4C, those are not the popular textures. I get it, because again, social conditioning, hashtag social conditioning, and centering whiteness or the proximity to whiteness. But I no longer do that. Do I still use hair in my gel? Abso-frickin-lutely. Shout out to Kinky Curly Custard. That's what I've been using for a long time. But now when I do it, the reason why I use it is because it helps me to keep my hair like detangled and separated, right? That is specifically why I use it. And it helps to keep it more moisturized too, honestly, because my hair would be, for some reason, my hair, like, it be dry. Like a freaking, I don't even know. It's just so dry for some reason. Anyway, that's another conversation. But just me choosing to see my hair as beautiful, even when it's not defined, even in its kinky state. And actually, there was someone that mentioned how Jay-Z needs to do something with his hair. I think he has locks, or I don't know what he has going on right now, but have you seen that? I don't even know how recent this is, but I was just shaking my head, and I told the person, just let that guy wear his hair the way he wants to. Like, it's not, I wanted to tell this person, like, allow him to embrace his uniqueness, allow him to embrace his blackness, but I just didn't even want to have the conversation, because it just wasn't worth it, right? So anyway, my hair, choosing not to straighten it, that is my journey. It might look a little differently for you. It may look the same for you. But again, it's really just about bringing more awareness to what you do and why you do it, and determining if you have some social conditioning in there that needs to be looked at, right? Right. Another thing I would say is that I do now is doing more of reclaiming my time. Like Maxine Waters said, reclaiming my time and choosing how I use it. Like choosing how I use it, whether it's scheduling appointments on my calendar for work, since I work for myself, whether it's choosing not to work at all and just figuring out what works for me. I just never was the type of person that liked to have my time dictated by a 9-to-5. I mean, let's keep it real. I find 9-to-5 to be exhausting. Honestly, I do. And does that mean I would never, ever work a 9-to-5 again? I'm not saying that. You know, sometimes things change. But I'm going to be real and let you know that I find 9-to-5, that construct of work and labor, I find it dehumanizing and I find it absolutely freaking exhausting. Not only do you have to commute, well, at least I'm not sure how many people are still working from home, but typical job, there's a commute involved, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour. And keep in mind that some people have these long ass commutes since they couldn't afford a house in the city they lived in. Right? They have to move way, way out because either they're not earning their worth and or they're not able to get access to the loans that maybe a white person has access to for whatever reason. So they're getting these homes way, way out just so that they can become a homeowner. And so then they have to get on a train or be in the carpool lane for 90 minutes so that they can go to work. And that's just one way. So you have your commute. You have your time away from your family, and you have this hustle mindset culture of this 9-to-5 job where you have to fall in line, and it's just tiring. And that the way my brain works, maybe it's just my personality, I don't know, but that ain't it. That's just not it for me. So just liberation for me or freedom for me looks like being able to claim my time and have more flexibility in my day so that I can do more resting, do things that I want to do. Is it if I want to go to lunch with a friend, I can do that. If I want to step away and go take a walk, I can do that. In fact, tomorrow morning, I am going to most likely end up going to the beach before I begin my day and spend an hour or two at the beach because I just want to do that. That for me is liberation. That for me is freedom versus being so caught up in this system of capitalism and hustle and grind and depletion and burnout. Like, I'm just doing more to claim my time. I'm just doing more to reclaim the time that, you know, is stolen from a lot of us. If I can be honest with you, like, just this, the way the system is set up, that everybody is not built the same. And everyone is not meant to do like work a 9-to-5. But if you don't have a 9-to-5 or you don't fall in line with the system, you're looked at as lazy. You're looked at as not being a team player. You're looked at as, you know, having your head in the clouds or, you know, just being a bum or whatever the case may be because you don't fall in line with a typical 9-to-5 job. And it's like, where is the diversity allowed here in this type of situation? Like, why do we have these systems in place where everyone just has to fall in line with what whiteness says is civilized and or what whiteness says, the system built on whiteness says, is the only appropriate way to exist or to function or to be is to, you know, have a 9-to-5, get a quote-unquote good job, work 40, 50 hours a week. No sir, no ma'am. That's just not the way I envision living my life. That is just, and the older I get, the more I am resistant to doing that. And I don't know what my future is going to look like, honestly. But, my desire is to never work another 9-to-5. I want to be like unhirable. That is definitely not my term. I heard someone else use that. Like, I don't ever want to work. I'm saying this for now anyway. I don't ever want to work like a typical 9-to-5 job again. I don't have the bandwidth for that. I don't have the personality for that. That's just not who I am. That is not liberating to me. That is not me being authentic and true to myself and working with my own patterns and moods and thought processes. Like, so many people go to work and they're just angry. They're just sad. They are depressed. They are miserable because they are going to a job that they absolutely hate. I do not want that to be me. Let's go ahead and take a break right here. Who showed you that it was okay to aim high and go for your dreams while also just being yourself? For me, it was radio host Big Boy, Oprah, and KTLA news reporter Gail Anderson. In part, these people are the reason why this podcast specifically exists. This is the power of Black representation in media. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is more than a podcast. It's a celebration of Blackness from NPR, where every voice is as distinct and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In this collection, you'll find stories of joy, resilience, and empowerment, each episode a living account of what it means to be Black today. From the intricate narratives of The Wire to the wisdom of Michelle Obama and the urgent call for reparations, Black Stories, Black Truths really is the truth. Space wasn't always made for our perspective, so NPR's new collection is necessary as it celebrates the richness of the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcast that center Black voices. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR wherever you get podcasts. My hair is kinky, it's coily, it's beautiful, it's all the things, but the dryness is real, so it's also prone to feeling parched. This is why Waze Anti-Frizz Cream is my new BFF. It not only tames frizz, but helps my hair feel more hydrated. Listen, summer is coming. We are trying to be outside, going to brunch, plus traveling, and summer activities aren't always kind to our strands, okay? So let me tell you what I do for this. I wash my hair every 1 to 2 weeks. Don't sleep on Waze Detox Shampoo, by the way, if you have hard water or buildup. I detangle, I smooth in a little of the Waze Anti-Frizz Cream, then shingle in my natural gel. My hair is frizz-free, it's hydrated, and it's cute for days. Love sleek styles? Waze Anti-Frizz Cream works as a heat protectant up to 450 degrees as well. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code SELFCARE for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code SELFCARE. Okay, let's go ahead. So, that was number two. Again, these are in no particular order. Something else. I'm looking at my post-it note here. Let's see. Something else that I am definitely doing is seeking more Black experiences as I work to decenter whiteness and white supremacy. Just seeking more Black experiences. Because again, keep in mind that for a very long time for me, Black was bad. Black was not good. Black was not smart. Black was not beautiful. Black was not worthy. Insert any word you want here, but Black wasn't it. That again is me as a child, right? But so these days it's really I'm really doing what I can to center Blackness. I'm doing what I can, and I do that by like, for example, I have it on my list to visit Black museums, and I was looking at some that are on the West Coast. There's one obviously, there's one in California. I think there's one in Washington. I think there's one in Oakland. There are some museums. Well, there are Black museums all across the world, obviously, or all across the country. But my goal is to see if I can get to all the ones that are out here on the West Coast. I'm really looking forward to that. Of course, reading more Black literature, watching more Black shows. I'm thinking about herbalism right now, actually, and I've been thinking about herbalism for, it's been a good couple of years. I'm just a little hesitant, but I really, see, I have this disconnect. I don't even know if this is going to make sense, but I'm going to try my best to explain it. I really want to explore herbalism, and I have been, like, watching YouTube videos and, you know, that kind of thing, and actually, I'm going to be buying some books very soon one book in particular, what's it called? My Root. Hold on, I'm going to see if I can grab it really, really quickly. It's called, because I was just looking at it earlier too, like, yep, I want to get that book. Hold on, y'all, I'm going to get it real quick. I know that this is not apropos, but I'm going to do it. So bear with me just a second here. See if I can find it again. There is a book that I want. Come on, computer. I'm typing. Oh, dang it. I might have to. Oh, here it is. Working the Roots. It's called Working the Roots. The author's name is Michelle Elizabeth Lee. I really want to get that book because it talks about just traditional medicine and just healing and African and just culture. That's basically it. Culture. And apparently there's like stories and, you know, different things like that and practices. So I'm really looking forward to getting that book. Here's the disconnect that I have, and this is a struggle I've been having for quite some time, and I think I've talked about this on the podcast. Hopefully I say this in a succinctly, but one of the struggles that I have with herbalism is that when I look at books, for example, there's another book, and actually I won't name it because I don't want anyone thinking that I'm trying to shade this author, which I'm absolutely not, but when I look for books by African American authors that talk about healing and herbalism and just our traditions and things like that, it leans beyond that and it goes into like hoodoo and those kind of things like that. And that's not my lane. That's not my lane. So I am trying my best. It's like I'm trying my best to explore my Blackness, explore my culture. But it's a little hard sometimes because when I do that, there's like this, I bump up against a part of our culture that I don't necessarily jive with, if that makes sense. And so, you know, I don't even know if this is making sense, but it's hard because I want to embrace all of my heritage, all of our culture. It's so rich, it's so diverse, but then I struggle because there are certain parts that I don't, that they're just not in alignment with me. They're not in alignment with who I am. Does that make sense? And so that's one of the reasons why I've just kind of been tiptoeing around herbalism, even though I want to learn more about it. I want to explore it. I want to be that chick. There's this Black chick. What's her name? Shoot. There, if you're into like herbalism and just foraging and things like that, if you go to YouTube, I cannot remember her name. There's this Black chick. She's really funny. She's really cute. She usually wears like a bold lip. I'm seeing like a pink or purple in my mind. Her hair is kind of like wild and curly. And she does foraging and she talks a lot about it. Like, I love that. I want to embrace more of that. Does that make sense? I want to learn about the land. I want to learn about herbs and different ways to heal your body and different foods and combinations and all of that stuff. I want to learn. I want to immerse myself in that culture. I want to be the plant mama. I want to be the plant lady, the one that's like, oh, baby, go pick me some eucalyptus, some lavender, and some pumpkin seeds. I'm joking because I don't really know what I'm talking about. And I'm going to put this together and I'm going to take that headache away, baby. In 30 minutes, you ain't going to have no headache. Like, that is who I'm shifting towards that. But I honestly do have a little bit of fear there that I'm trying to work through because, again, a lot of times when it does get into like herbalism and things like that, it does go into lanes that are just, that are not necessarily for me. So does that make sense? I don't know if it did or not, but that's kind of where I am. So I want to get into like plant medicine and natural recipes. And honestly, I've been in that realm. It's been a good while. But now that I've kind of got my roots in it, I'm ready to go to the next level. So I'm trying to find that balance between just doing that versus also implementing other parts of practices that are not my lane, not for me. Does that make sense? But yeah, just immersing myself more in as I work to decenter whiteness and embrace everything Black. And of course, supporting Black-owned businesses and just things like that. That is what I am shifting towards. And I know we all support Black-owned businesses, right? So this is nothing new. But I'm just, you know, letting you know, like, I'm just shifting towards that. So a year from now, 2 years from now, who knows who I will be at that point. But I'm really excited about just exploring that. Really, really excited. Again, as I work to decenter just whiteness in my life. Let's see. I thought I had another one here. I'm looking. Talked about herbalism. I thought I had one more, y'all. Give me 1 second. I guess the other thing I can say is just allowing myself to rest unapologetically, mentally, spiritually, physically, of course. Rest is so important to the healing of our bodies, healing of our spirits, right? We have to rest. I feel like labor is it. So of course, I guess if you think about it, labor is necessary when it comes to, for example, what's the Bible verse like, or the saying, like, eating the fruits of your labor, like the seeds need to be planted. There's work that needs to be done, but I feel like it can be done more so in a collective way versus, again, just going back to like working that 9 to 5 and just not really having ownership of your life and just kind of not doing things as a community, right? But there's a difference between labor, I guess, a collective labor where the goal or the mission is more so towards like wholeness and healing and liberation and joy versus labor that is just about capitalism and I don't know, just about things that aren't really community focused or community based, or just even if it is individually, like there's a difference between laboring for yourself and your family and laboring just for like a 9 to 5 or laboring for a corporation. And once you're done, you just feel depleted and exhausted, right? And not in a good way, not in a good way. I know that we're not all put here to do the same things. We're not all put here to serve the same people, to do the same type of work, to be all exactly the same type of person. We need diversity as a community, obviously, but I don't believe that, you know, having your soul broken by a 9 to 5 is why we were put here. And I hear from a lot of you in the audience, and you have told me over the last couple of years, as I've done the podcast, that you resonate with that a lot. Like, you know that your job, at some point, you've worked jobs or a job that has literally just broken your soul, as Beyonce says, right? That has literally sucked you dry, drained you of all your humanity, right? For a variety of reasons. And so I don't want to labor to the point where I am exhausted. I don't want to labor to the point where I am depleted. I don't want to labor to the point where I am burnt out, fried, crispy, depressed. Because I've been there and I've done that. I do not want to do that to my body again. I do not want to do that to my emotional health again. I do not want to do that to my mental health again. I've done that several times. And my body was just talking to me that whole time. But I was just like, but, you know, I have a kid, but I need this money. But, you know, I got to survive because I was in survival mode for such a long time. But I got to be a good employee. But I got to, you know, fall in line. But I got to just, you know, do the quote unquote good thing or the quote unquote right thing and not make too many waves. But when I tried to do that, it was just like, man, oh man, after a certain point, like my spirit just started to break through. and it broke through in a it was really honestly an act of rebellion slash depression slash moodiness and slash anger, because I just felt so resentful that I had to do it. I just, that type of labor is not for me. And I would much prefer to utilize the time the way that makes sense to me, as well as making proper space for rest, making proper space for downtime, making proper space for relaxation, making proper space for ease, like making proper space for softness, like all of those things, making proper space for joy, making proper space for just making sure that mentally, physically, and emotionally, I'm okay. I'm better than okay. These systems that are set in place, they don't care about Black people. They don't care about our health. They don't care about our mental health. These systems were not designed for us. So as we are doing our best to fall in line with whiteness and to center whiteness, doesn't matter how close to whiteness you may or may not be. The system will never respect you. The system will never work for you. The system will never support you. The system will never, it'll just chew you up, use you up, and when it's done with you, spit you out, and you will just be another Black person who was let down by a system that, again, was not created for you. A system that has you thinking that inherently you are not worthy. A system that has you believing that you're not smart. A system that has you believing that your health doesn't matter. A system that has you believing that your needs come last. A system that has you believing that you're not smart, you're not good enough, you're not beautiful, you're not pretty, you're less than, your humanity doesn't matter, your experiences don't matter unless you are you fall in line with whatever level of whiteness. And again, keep in mind, these systems weren't even made by white women. Because, you know, we're women, obviously, right? But these systems were established by white men, white Christian men. And I hate to even say that because I am a follower of Christ, but that's also something that I struggle with as well, because we don't even have time in this podcast, honey, to get into that. So maybe that'll be another conversation. But the fact that this country was established or colonized by white Christian men, how does Christianity equal slavery? How does Christianity equal abuse? How does Christianity equal toxicity? How does Christianity equal violence? How does Christianity equal separation of families? How does Christianity equal enslavement or slavery? How does Christianity equal just so many things. So I tell you, y'all, like I'm just exploring so many things right now. And it's all necessary. It's all necessary because, like I've asked in other episodes, really kind of like a rhetorical question that isn't necessarily one to be answered just right away, but who am I? Who would I have been had I not experienced all the trauma and toxicity against me thanks to white supremacy, which just basically came in and changed everybody. It changed everyone. Who would I have been? And so that's what I'm trying to explore. And I don't even know if I would have necessarily that answer, because I feel like it's kind of like impossible to really know, because it's already happened. Does that make sense? You can't go back in time and erase it and be like, oh, that's exactly who I would have been. Doesn't work that way. So at best, what I can do is just take this time now, as I've been doing, to work to decenter whiteness. in the way that I live my life, in the way that I feel about myself, in the way that I treat other people, in the way that I look at community, in the way that I look at how I, you know, do the things that I do on a day-to-day basis. Like, all of that is something that I'm looking at. Like, every single part of my life, that's what it is. And that, for me, is what self-care is a, that's a big part of self-care. Because I feel like it's impossible to feel whole, to be healthy, to feel complete, and to honor your humanity, unless you look at the things that, some of the things that we talked about today, or if not all of the things that we talked about today. And I'm sure there are other things that I did not mention, did not talk about, but maybe again, like I said, this episode will give you some ahas for you in your life that you can think about and start to explore as we continue moving down this path of wellness and, again, joy and happiness and abundance and self-worth and self-love. Trust me, again, I know sometimes the work is not easy, but I want to remind you that you're worth it. You're just worth having your humanity honored. That's basically what it's all about. You're worth it. And so that's why I wanted to have this conversation with you today, and hopefully give you some tips or some things to think about as you, you know, consider what type of effect white supremacy has had on your life and continues to have on all of our lives. So I will leave it at that and say that that is it for this week's episode. Again, I do hope I gave you some food for thought today. I know this episode might not have been our typical kiki. It might have felt a little heavy, maybe not as fluffy as some of the other episodes I've had, but y'all, I really want to explore these types of themes. I really want to have more conversations like this. I'm not saying that I'm an expert. I'm still learning. You're basically taking this journey with me. I may be a few steps ahead of you, in certain areas, but that doesn't mean that I know everything. I don't always have the answer, and I don't always have the right answer, right? I can only give to you from the things that I am learning and exploring, and just about myself, about life, about how I want to show up, how I want to, you know, embrace this lifestyle, right? So that's why I share with you on the podcast. So that is it for this week's episode. If you want to connect with me, you can always email me at connect@browngirlselfcare.com. Again, that is connect@browngirlselfcare.com. That's it for this week's episode. Have a blessed week, and I look forward to seeing you next Monday. Take care.